revolution continues. The quiet tech revolution above and around us may just be the growing use of remote-controlled drone aircraft, small, mini, and tiny, with strange payloads, bristling with cameras and sensing equipment. And as these proliferate, our sense of being watched and even attacked will grow. It's kind of Facebook meets Big Brother, or Big Brother gets a pilot's license. What worries you about this? Dan Franchetto posted on our Facebook page, invasion of privacy due to aerial high-tech surveillance and more intrusive commercial advertising. Okay. Andreas Tanos has another concern, human error that leads to collateral damage. RJ Shelton seems a little ambivalent as well. It's a problem if they have the wrong coordinates and miss their target or malfunction and crash. I would agree. But other than that, I'm not a bit frightened, says RJ. You know how to reach us. 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. These are just the inklings of a kind of drone-related awareness that is constantly on the minds of people in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Yemen who've seen the comings and goings of collateral damage from drone strikes for years. It's an awareness that informed our next guest, who designed a city impervious to drones as a college architecture project, a city with walls full of countermeasures to confuse drone sensors, a imagined drone-free zone. Asher J. Cohn is a law student at Washington University in St. Louis. His model for this project, just the starting point really, was the gated community he lived in years ago growing up.
There's very much a visual coding for safety. There are high walls. There is a guardhouse. There's nobody in the guardhouse, but there's a guardhouse. But you see these codes that tell you it is okay to be safe here through the environment.
And so with that in mind, you set out on a strategy essentially to kind of trick the drones into not being able to see this community, to being thrown off if it tries to sight on individuals, and various ways of keeping the drones from ever being able to maneuver on or in this sort of neighborhood, let alone people having no electronic signature. Describe some of the features as we sort of walk through this place that you've imagined.
The idea that I had is that there's a front door to the whole community, the whole city. I kind of toyed with an open sesame sort of idea that I never really found anything satisfactory with, but some sort of code password that you have to be allowed in through. From there, I thought it was very important to have the actual built environment to be open plan, that the people who live here are able to put up walls or tear down walls where they thought they were best, so that a house could grow if, you know, they had a new baby, or a house could split with walls through the middle if there was a divorce. And I think it's really important that the people who live here have the ability and the responsibility to create their own space.
Now, is that flexibility, the idea that walls can change and visual statements can change very, very quickly, is that also something that tricks the detect functions of drones?
Exactly. You know, one of the other things, I also have some temperature control sort of gimmicks laid out within the system with bringing cool air into hot environments and vice versa. The idea is that you can never really tell who is where in a room, how many people are in a room, where that room starts and ends. It might be different than it was yesterday. So there's really no way to identify relationships through infrared sight.
All right, so you've knocked out the infrared detectors. How do you deal with electronic tracking of people?
For electronic, there was another idea with the front door. There'd be some sort of defumigation chamber gets a little sci-fi. But there were also, you know, towers that would be able to, I guess, jam frequency signals. You'd have to use wired connections would be one way.
And you call those towers minarets, using an architectural term from, Islamic architecture.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
I think is interesting. One last thing that I think is pretty interesting about this community is everyone is connected electronically, but only through Ethernet cables. There's no Wi-Fi in this community. And so people have to intentionally reach out and connect with each other. It's not passive and everywhere.
Yeah, people have to make the decision to use electronic communications. That's part of the way of building a community. You know, if you know somebody is a few doors down, it'll be easier to just walk and knock on their door than to send them a text message. sort of this idea of creating that community, creating a sort of a community, an identity of a community within the drawbacks of protecting yourselves from drones, turning the drawback into a positive.
And you sense that this human scale community kind of behavior, as opposed to relying on electronics, is part of the defense against surveillance by drones.
Yes, I think that, you know, drones work, that drones target individuals, and drones target individuals through algorithms. So humanity and community are weapons that drones can't understand and cannot counteract. And that using this liveliness, kind of celebrating why we are human and not robots, would thus be a way to conquer the robots.
Although I'm thinking about drones in Pakistan and Afghanistan, I mean, I suspect while those communities are very vulnerable and are just villages and roads out in the middle of open area, I mean, in general, the behavior of those communities follows no known algorithm per se. Would these techniques be useful in, you know, Northwest frontier territory in Pakistan or in Afghanistan?
I think they will, in that you might say that there are no algorithms, but I think people do if there's, you know, Monday is the day to go to the market. You know, Wednesday is the day to go down to the big city to, you know, pick up so-and-so from work. I think that there are patterns, you know, life goes through patterns. And the idea of, you know, the city that I created was to disrupt those patterns from the outside. So they might still be patterns, but there's no way to connect the threads in any sort of logical manner.
Finally, as a design question, creating a community that has essentially as its brand, drones can't see you here, isn't that an invitation for the government or whoever to develop countermeasures, a kind of a black box invitation that would make you ultimately more vulnerable?
The way I focus it is kind of, instead of looking at it as a threat, looking at it as a bit of, you know, impudence. So it's not a threat. It's just a smirk sort of at these drones and the drone jockeys.
A smirk that often, if you smirk at the authorities, they sort of come after you, right?
Yes, but they have to, you know, if the authorities decide to come after an entire community because they don't like the way it looks, that's a decision that they have to make. And going after communities with impunity is a scary thought, at least for me.
Well, Asher, thanks so much for talking with us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
The imaginative Asher J. Cohn is a law student at Washington University in St. Louis and founder of the website 2K.com.